Well, I got interested in radio and we bought little books and studied for the test and practice code. And Jerry Thompson and Brownie Rickard and I practiced together. And when we thought we were ready, we went down to Des Moines, someplace in Des Moines, and some government building and took the test. And you had to be able to send and receive code at 13 words a minute and pass a written test and radio fundamentals. And then you got your ham license. And we went down together. And I think Brownie didn't pass the first time, and Jerry and I did. So then go home and start building a rig, we called it. And this consisted of initially a one-tube affair, a 6L6. I know that's very meaningful to you. And you put together a power supply out of junk. I did anyway, tearing old radios apart and getting the power supply out of it. And stringing an antenna, that was the toughest part. That meant you had to have some poles or a couple of trees strategically placed. I had one tree strategically placed. Matter of fact, a whole row of trees. House was here and a row of trees was here, and then I didn't have anything to hook it to over here. So I'd wangled an old telephone pole, which I don't know how tall it was. It seemed a lot taller than it was, I'm sure, at that time, and maybe 20 feet, and that wasn't high enough. And I found an old piece of pipe on the farm, and I decided if I could attach that to the top of that pole with some conduit straps or something, and I wired a pulley on the top of it and thought, well, I can get my antenna from that tree out here, and they had to be insulated. Now, I climbed the tree, as I recall. It got up there, and I don't know whether I climbed the tree or not. And it had to be insulated from the tree. And then at the other end, I had an insulator at the end of the antenna and tied a rope on that and put it down through the pulley. And when I got it put up, and that pipe was a little heavy to climb up on a ladder and try to hold it and nail straps. And that's what your dad did on Sunday afternoon. I don't know whether I told him about or asked him to come over and help me. He came over and helped me put the pipe up. So the whole affair was not up, and then he went home. So then subsequently, I pulled the antenna, and it had a lead in the middle, a twisted pair of wire in the middle that came down right into this little room in the corner of our house. That was my ham shack. And had everything ready to go, all tested out, hooked the antenna on, and that was late in the afternoon by then, and we had company, forgotten who it was. And I got it all fired up, and it worked. And he tested this with a little flashlight bulb with a loop of wire soldered to it, and held that down over a coil and tuned everything to a maximum brightness on that bulb and ran out this lead in out of the house. And I was real anxious to try it out. It was just crazy to see if there was anybody really out there. And I had built my receiver and it was checked out and everything was ready to go. And I found my old logbook, which I bought after the occasion. And that's all duly recorded in there, my first contact. And tried it out and found out that there were people out there in the real world that actually heard my signal, this key I pounded out. I think I contacted maybe Jerry Thompson first, whether he listened. I don't think he had his rig on the air yet, but I think he listened and called me, or maybe I contacted him. Then I contacted someone else, and I don't remember who that was. And then it was supper time, and the storm was moving in, which I hadn't really noticed. This is the high point in my life. Andrew could have come by and flattened the place, and I wouldn't have noticed it until I got this first contact. And while we were eating supper, a big bolt of lightning hit someplace real close. And I didn't think of my antenna at the time, but normally you'd have a big knife switch on this and a ground wire. They would go down to a stake pound in the ground, and you ground that thing when you're not using it in case of lightning. Well, I didn't have any kind of lightning protection on at all. And I smelled a smell of burning Bakelite. And then the bell rang, and I rushed into the room, and there was smoke coming out of my receiver. Lightning had hit and had blown the switch off of my receiver. Fortunately, I had it plugged in the right direction, so the hot wire went to ground and didn't go through the whole radio. It just went through the switch to ground. And I didn't think of the antenna right away. They checked out the receiver and the transmitter and everything lit up. And I wasn't about to go on the air with lightning out there because nobody could hear me anyway, too much static. And maybe I looked out the window and the lightning flashes saw my antenna lying on the ground. And so I did nothing the next day and found out that it had cut my lead in chunks 3 or 4 feet long, rather, not neatly. It had cut that up, but it really hadn't damaged the antenna. So then I put it back up and went on from there, and that occupied most of my time. And that was the way I spent my winters then, but I was out of high school then.